Bible, Romans chapter 8, you read verses 1 through 11, and have reverence to God, extend this word of prayer. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now, the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God, because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life with his Spirit who lives in you. May you see. Wednesday night we were looking at the verses and the end of chapter 7, and Paul was talking about a spiritual struggle. You have the desire to do good, and at the same time an influence to lead you to follow the sin nature. And Paul has been addressing our salvation. He's talked about the bad news first. We talked about the wrath of God is coming, judgment is coming, because of the sinfulness of man. And then Paul talked about it's not by our efforts that we're saved, but it's a righteousness by faith in what God has done. And then he goes on to talk about, now, since our righteousness is by faith, the law cannot save us. Now, does that mean the law is bad? No, the law is not bad. It's there to show us how sinful we are, to show us the sinfulness of sin. That's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, it even uses the phrase, the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Or another translation said, the law is our schoolmaster. Now, a teacher in school is to teach you about certain things. The law is to teach us that we are sinful and that we cannot get to a relationship with God that God desires, God demands, on our own effort. And then Paul goes and reminds us that without Christ, we are a slave to sin. But with Christ, we've been free from sin. But the sin nature is still there. And Wednesday I used the illustration of internet influencers. Now, you've probably seen those people that have their little blogs, and they maybe on YouTube or TikTok or any of those other things. They'll talk about different things, different places to stay, different cosmetics to use, different ways to build things, home improvement. There's all kind of influencers, and they're wanting you to follow them as they try to tell you what you should choose. Well, there used to be an analogy of a figure of a little demon, a little angel, You had a little angel on one shoulder and a little demon on the other, and they'd be whispering what you should do in a certain situation. Well, Paul is saying, I want to do what pleases God. So why don't I? Because sin is still there, trying to influence me. Even though I've been free from sin, I'm not free from the influence of sin. All you got to do is walk around anywhere, turn on any television, turn on anything, and you get the influence of sin bombarded on you. There's people that want to try to influence you because they're tools of Satan to ignore what God says. I even saw a report on a major news network having an expose on what they call Christian nationalism. And their premise was, there are people in our country today that are trying to lie to you and tell you that our country was founded on Christian principles. Now, all you have to do is look at the founding documents and find out our nation was founded on Christian principles. The major network that was presenting this expose was the one that's trying to lie to you. Look at our Declaration of Independence. Where do our rights come from? Is it from King George? No. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. They come from God, not from man. Well, even our currency, we have on it. In God, we trust. But unfortunately, people want to tell you that's a lie. But to do that, they've got to ignore all the evidence of that. I have a little, I put my initial S on the front of it, so I don't want to drink the potatoes bottle, and he doesn't leave this up there. So that's good. Well, we have been freed from sin, but it's still there trying to influence us. Puts me in a situation where the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And then look at verse 24, chapter 7. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Who will fix this turmoil that I'm having? And he answers in verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. So I'm in that struggle, and God's the one that's going to rescue me. And that is why, in verse 1, the therefore is there. Therefore, since God can rescue us from that struggle with sin, that influence of sin in our lives, since we've been rescued, we've been freed from slavery to sin, and we've been given a gift of life from Jesus Christ. Remember Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is a legal term for the penalty after the verdict has been given in a legal suit. Now, you go before a court, you have a jury, they bring the verdict guilty, and then you have the punishment phase. You are condemned to this penalty. or that penalty. Well, we don't have any condemnation. We don't face the penalty for our guilt if we are in Christ Jesus. If we are not in Christ Jesus, we do face the penalty. Now, I just saw on the news yesterday, Rob Reiner's son is back in court because if you remember, he's accused of killing his parents, and he has been taken out of the situation because they said he's not capable of standing trial right now, and delays and delays. Now he's back and they're trying to set a court date. Well, if it's proven that he's the one that did it, there will be condemnation for what he did. And all we need to look in the news, there's many cases of people that have done things, and there's condemnation for the guilty. But if we are free from sin and are given the gift of Jesus Christ, there, through his payment of our sin, there is no condemnation for us. And verse 2 says, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We are under a different perspective. God looks at us. He doesn't see our guilt anymore. He sees the righteousness that he imparts to us. He covers our sin with his love, his righteousness. We are not condemned. And then Paul goes on to say, the law can't save you. Why can't it save us? Because of our sin nature. The sin nature is right there with us. Imagine if you're in the middle of a desert. You need something to drink. You find an oasis. Oh, I can be saved. But if that oasis is poisoned, then it's not going to save you. The people of Israel faced this situation when they were wandering in the wilderness. They came on a bitter spring. It wouldn't save them, wouldn't quench their thirst until God intervened. But Moses, here's what I want you to do. This is what you're going to do to make this water drinkable. Well, if there's a little poison in the water, it's not going to save us from dying of thirst. We'll just die of the poison as well as thirst. We cannot be saved by the law, because that sin nature is still there. Remember Paul said, the law, when I saw it, for example, coveting, oh, I'm not supposed to want things I don't have. What are the things I'm supposed to want that I don't have? So Paul says, when I saw the law, all these nature, my sinful nature's, all these things about coveting came up, and I failed because my sin was still there. But God has condemned our sin nature, and the condemnation is not for us. But our sin nature has been put to death because of what Jesus did. And now Paul contrasts two lives: the unbeliever, the one that is not a true Christian, and the one that is. And he challenges you. He uses the word if later on. If the Spirit of God is in you, or if you're in the flesh. If you're in a church building, it doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. Just being called a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. It's a new relationship with God through our confession and our sin and penance and acceptance of the payment. That's what makes us a Christian. It's by faith, not by works. There are a lot of people in churches today that are not Christians. And there are a lot of people in churches that you might think their doctrine is off, but they're Christians because they have their faith in Jesus Christ, not their faith in their church doctrine. God has his believers, and Satan has his heirs. A tear looks like meat until it blooms, until it produces fruit. There are a lot of people that are in the church and they're not Christians. And Paul is challenging those in Rome. Make sure that you are truly a Christian. Now let me show you what it's like for the person that's not a Christian. And Paul said he's ruled by the flesh. He's in it for what he can get out of it. What's in it for me right now would be the attitude of the ruler of the flesh. What can I get out of this situation? When the one that is ruled by spirit has his focus, his mindset on the Winter Olympics have been going on. Someone that's going to compete in an event focuses on that goal line at the end of their event. And it can be years in the future. And they don't focus on what they want right then and there. They focus on winning that medal, being the best that they can be at that event. The person that's in training, they focus on what they can be done and what can not their desires. Because they're focused on themselves instead of focused on the goal ahead. Now, my analogy breaks down, I should say, someone that's focused on winning the gold medal is saying, I want to be up there and look at me. But all human intelligence, especially what's coming from me, break down at one point or another. But the person that is of the flesh is focused only on themselves. The person that is of the spirit focuses on what pleases God. What is the ultimate destiny of the person that's focused on himself? Jesus' death. Now and forever. The person that's focused on God is the body. Now and forever. The person that is focused on God is not like the person that's focused on the flesh. You seek for peace with God. However, the person that's focused on the flesh is hostile to God. He does not submit to God's law. He's also even unable to do so. He cannot please God because God is a living man. Now, I don't know, I'm sure none of you would be heard of this situation. Running against me. And that would push your car. You know, that car has all the potential of doing all kinds of things. But it can't do it if it doesn't have any gas. If we don't have the Spirit of God living in us, we can't accomplish what the promise calls to do. The person without the Spirit of God is unable to fulfill God's law because he's trying to do it. Like a car trying to take you on a destination without gas. It's going to be a burden. You're not going to be able to get there. You're going to be complaining all the way, and you've got to push it. But you put gas in the gas tank, and suddenly that car that you were working hard to push at 1 mile, or 2 or 3 hours, to going at a mile a minute. Kids, we're going to do a mile in a minute. And all of us in the back say, how? And we're doing a mile in a minute, and people do it. The stoplight here, they try to do it quick past the church. How do you get up to that speed? Well, I digress. We are not to focus on the flesh, but on the focus on God. And then Paul used the illustration. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to you. Now I'm going to chase a rabbit on purpose for a minute. Notice it says Spirit of God, and the second half of the sentence says Spirit of Christ. Some people say Jesus and God are two different things. Jesus was just a great philosopher. You're right. And here he said, what is God? Jesus Christ. And a little bit later, it's going to be talk about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Trinity. So all three of them are the Trinity. Well, you will see that term in the scripture called the Trinity. Now, if Christ is in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. If you are a Christian, you're going to have the Holy Spirit living within you. God is going to be residing in you. You're going to have spiritual gas in your body. The ability to achieve what is impossible without God's provision. If you are a Christian, you don't have to ask the Holy Spirit. He's already there. But we do need to ask that we get out of the way. The Holy Spirit is already within every believer. If you are a Christian, what do we do? Verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through the Spirit who lives in you. Last week, I went back. My sister, Brittany, he's the last. It was just going from a body filled with pain to having the pain in the memory. Because of faith in Jesus Christ. Not in her ability to save herself. When we die, it's not the end of the world. It's just the end of this chapter. We'll move to the next chapter. Where will we spend the next chapter? Is it in heaven or is it in hell? If we're trying to get to heaven on our own, we're going to end up in heaven. But we realize it's impossible. What's the evidence? The evidence for saying the Holy Spirit moving with us. And as we continue in our study in the book of Romans, we're going to see more how the Holy Spirit works. He helps us in our prayers. When we don't know how to pray, He's right there with us. He's there giving us the ability to do what God calls us to do. Let us make sure there's plenty of bill. We need to get out of the way. Now, as I've been drinking my bottle of water, there's only just a little bit of water left in the bottle. You know? And you might say you need to fill up that bottle. You know it's filled right now. It just has this much of water and less of air. We need to put more of the things of God and less of the focus of wisdom that He gives us and tells us to sing. The world is very broken. Call us to focus on us, to focus on ourselves, to focus on how unfair we think life is. That's why I like Dave Ramsey's saying, use it all the time, but I'm guilty of theft, but I'm taking it and steal it from him. When anybody asks Dave Ramsey, how you doing? Better than I deserve. Working in every situation for good. It could be a lot worse. Because we don't know, no matter how bad it is, it's just temporary. One person will say, for the non-Christian, life on earth is as good as it ever gets. For the Christian, life on earth is as bad as it ever gets. Can you imagine? The future is worse than now. And somebody choosing to do that? Choosing to ignore the gift of God. Because of all the spirit of God. Who cares? Just the New Jerusalem is a cube, 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles, by 1,400 miles tall. Thank you.